We're up to paragraph Reish Samach Zayin, 267. Rabbeinu Zal says, if a person wants to be mechadesh in Torah, which means a person who has a very broad and deep knowledge of Torah, to the extent where they can use their own experience in learning to be able to answer certain questions that are left unanswered by the Meforshim. For example, you have cases where Tosfos asks a question on how Rashi interpreted a certain item in the Gemara, and Tosfos leaves it unresolved, seeming to show as if Rashi's interpretation is not clear. And there are times where people with a broad and deep knowledge of Torah could look into that and possibly suggest an answer to be able to explain how Rashi's interpretation could be understood or could be valid. Or other cases like this, where a person uses a combination of two items mentioned in the Gemara to bring forth a third new concept, certain items like that. Rabbeinu Zal says if a person wants to do that, they're permitted to do it to any extent that they want, as long as they don't initiate any new halachos, or as long as they don't change any existing halacha in the Shulchan Aruch through whatever drush or chiddush they come up with. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this applies both in drush and also in the realm of Soid, secrets of Torah. Rav Nosson Zal says that he understood from Rabbeinu Zal's words that even when it comes to the Kavonas HaArizal, even when it comes to the secrets that the Arizal explains within the wisdom of Kabbalah, secrets of Torah, even there it's permitted for a person using his depth of knowledge to be able to be mechadesh, to be able to bring forth new concepts, as long as the person does not dare to change the Shulchan Aruch in any way whatsoever, not to add to it, or not to try to change it in any way. And this is a very important yesod in terms of Breslov Chassidus. There are people that ask about this many times, what's unique about Breslov, or what's different about Breslov, or what's similar about Breslov. One important item that Rabbeinu Zal stressed very much for his students was very strict adherence to the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbeinu Zal, in his Tzavot, his Talmidim, in his instructions before he passed away, regarding the things that he wanted them to be most particular about, there were two items in religion that he said he wanted them to make sure to do every single day, not to let a day go by without it. One item was the limud of Shulchan Aruch, that a person who adheres to Rabbeinu Zal's way of life could not let the single day of their life go by without learning a sif of Shulchan Aruch, a paragraph of Shulchan Aruch, and particularly a paragraph of Shulchan Aruch that deals with halacha lemaisa, meaning in the Shulchan Aruch itself, there are many times where an item is discussed and it's left off as a debate among the poskim. It's a machlokes. It's not even resolved in the Shulchan Aruch. There are many halachas in the Shulchan Aruch where there is no debate at all, or where the debate is resolved and a majority rules in a certain case. In this instance of learning halacha, we're talking about learning halacha psuka, which means coming to a final conclusion. This is something that Rabbeinu Zal was makbid for his students to learn each and every single day. And within the realm of tefillah, Rabbeinu Zal prescribed at least 1 hour a day of his spodidus for his talmidim, to make sure to spend an hour a day speaking with Hashem in your own language, using your own words, describing your own situation. And these two items were a tzavo from Rabbeinu Zal. In this case also, we find where Rabbeinu Zal addresses those gedolim. This is not something that's being said for an ordinary person who has learned 30 or 100 pages of Gemara. We're talking about a person here who has very broad knowledge in Torah and has risen to a point where they're capable of being mechadesh in Torah. Even such a person has to know They have to know the Shulchan Aruch thoroughly in order to make sure that their chidushim in Torah should not be clashing in any way with a halacha that's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. The next item, paragraph Reish Samaches, 268, Rav Nosson Zal says that he was once standing in the presence of Rabbeinu Zal, and Rabbeinu Zal mentioned certain psukim that are said in the Tikkun Chatzos, in the Tefillah of Tikkun Chatzos, which are able to arouse a very strong, intense feeling of desire towards Hashem within a person. And Rabbeinu Zal mentioned a few of the psukim. One of the psukim where we say, Echo Necherav Ha'ulam. How is it possible for the Beis HaMikdosh, the house of Hashem, to be destroyed? Adon Yitzak Bashvi. How long will the Jews or the Shekhinah cry out to Hashem from captivity? Adon. Till when? How long is this prolonged Golus going to be continuing? Ben Amitecho, and we refer to ourselves in the Tikkun Chatzos as the sons of Hashem's servant. And Rav Nosson Zal says that in Rabbeinu Zal saying these items to him, when Rabbeinu Zal said these sentences, he said them with the special niggun that's used for Tikkun Chatzos. Those people that are used to saying these tchinos that are mentioned in Tikkun Chatzos know that there is a certain special type of Tisha B'Av Nigin that's used for saying them. When Rabbeinu Zal said it, he hinted to Rav Nosson Zal that this is something to take note of, and this is something that you could use to arouse a very strong feeling of longing and yearning for Hashem or for Geula when saying these words. Also, the special paragraph that we say in Tikkun Chatzos, where we say, Doidi Yorad Leganoi, my beloved went down to his garden to select, to pick from there, referring also to Hashem, to the relationship between Hashem and the Shekhinah. And Rabbeinu Zal said that these words in particular, if a person knows the translation of them and knows the meaning, they could arouse very deep feelings within a person. The next item, Kapitel Reish Samachtes, 269, Rabbeinu Zal said, regarding the bilbulim that are mevalvel a person when they're trying to serve Hashem, bilbulim means all types of confusion and dilemmas and doubts. And Rabbeinu Zal said here in particular, he was speaking about what a person feels unsure about whether they're doing the right thing in serving Hashem, where at a certain point in time a person feels strongly that their learning, for example, should be in a particular direction, that right now I have to put my most emphasis on learning Chumash or learning Gemara. And then a person does that for a few weeks, and then suddenly they start thinking, maybe the most important thing for me to be learning now is Halacha. Maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. This type of doubt and uncertainty within serving Hashem, a person goes to one shul and they think that that's the place where they can be successful. And then they're in doubt, they're not sure, is this the place? Maybe I should try a different place. All the different types of sveikos in his nahagus regarding serving Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said there are times that people suffer tremendous confusion from all of this. His response to this was, why do people have to make themselves crazy with all of these things? Whatever a person does is okay, as long as they're not doing anything bad. As long as they're not going out and doing sins or hurting people, that type of item, that's okay. And the expression that Rabbeinu Zal used in Yiddish is, Vi mentit titmen, abi mentit kein schlechtsnit. Whatever a person does, however a person does, as long as they don't do anything bad, anything wrong. And this obviously was being said as a ischaskus, because there are many times as a person is developing in trying to come close to Hashem and trying to climb in religion, when a person's going through early stages of this, it's very easy for a person to make themselves nuts enough to give up, to give up on religion or to give up on trying to succeed in learning or in davening, where a person feels they're trying something and they don't get any sipuk from it, they don't allow themselves to enjoy the mitzvah that they're doing, whether it be to enjoy the shul that they're davening, to enjoy the type of learning that they're doing, whatever it is. If a person always finds fault with what they're doing, or they're always thinking, maybe I could be doing better, there's a way of doing that where you make yourself crazy and where it's harmful to a person's development in religion. There's nothing wrong with a person constantly looking to improve themselves, as long as it's done with a certain stability, where it's not every day a person thinking, maybe I should be doing this, maybe I should be doing that, in a way where whatever they're doing, they end up doing with a half-heartedness, without any strength, without any satisfaction, and without a fullness. We had learned earlier in Sichas Aran that Rabbeinu Zal described that even as he was growing in trying to come close to Hashem, he mentioned that his derech in serving Hashem was he would pick a certain path and he would stick to that path for a certain length of time until he felt he had finished everything he needed to finish in that path, and then he would consider going on to a new derech or a new limud, something like that. But to avoid a certain type of jumpiness, a certain lack of stableness that we find many times in Jews bechlal and in balei tshuva befrat. Now note, it's very important to stress that Rabbeinu Zal's definition of a bal tshuva is something that applies to every single Jew. The biggest tzaddik is also defined as bal tshuva, because bal tshuva means a person who has come to a realization that what I did today was not the best that I could be doing in religion, and I feel sorry for what I did today, and therefore I'm hoping tomorrow to be better. That's something that could be applied to the biggest of tzaddikim. So that all of us, in a sense, are in this category of, not in a sense, all of us are in this category of balei tshuva, wanting to grow, wanting to improve, and Rabbeinu Zal warned that a person shouldn't allow these wrong kinds of thoughts to seep into a person's mind in a way where it damages their avodah, where it weakens their mitzvah, their tefillah, their learning. The next item, paragraph Resh Ayin 270, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about one of the most important times of the entire week for a Jew. Friday night is a time when a person is first taking upon themselves the Kiddusha of Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, the Neshama Yisera that a Jew receives on Shabbos. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the paragraph Hoidu, Hoidu Lashem Ki Toiv Ki Le'olam Chasdoi, which is chapter 107 in Tehillim, which is said on Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, before Mincha. Now note, I believe that this is only said by Nusach Sfard. I don't know if, I believe that Nusach Ashkenaz does not have this minhag of saying this tefillah of Hoidu before Mincha. Rabbeinu Zal said, you should know that in saying this special chapter at that time, a person can break their heart in a very special way, and a person can really pour out their heart to Hashem in an outstanding manner. When we talk about a person breaking their heart, we know that the Gemara says that the korbanos, the purpose of a Jew bringing a korban, a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, was lekarev, to bring us close to Hashem. These sacrifices where a person went out and spent $1,000, $500, or $5, if it was an oni, bringing a pigeon as a korban, this was something that was able to bring a Jew close to Hashem. The Gemara says that the tefillos that we have today are keneged tmidim. They're in place of the korbanos that the Jews brought in the Beis HaMikdash. We find that the pasuk says about the Beis HaMikdash, ki beisi beis tefila yikore l'chol amim, that the Beis HaMikdash is called a beis tefila, a house of prayer. The Gemara says that you should know that there is a certain type of tefillah where if a Jew davens that type of tefillah, they get credit as if they brought every single type of korban that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a tefillah that's said with a ruach nishbora, with a lev nishbora, when a person davens with a broken heart, a broken spirit. The Gemara quotes the pasuk, Zivche Elohim ruach nishbora. Zevach means a sacrifice. Zivche means sacrifices. The sacrifices to Hashem are a broken heart. When a Jew is zeche to daven with a lev nishbor, he gets credit as if he brought all the different korbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbein Zal said you should know that one of the most opportune tefillos in which a Jew can feel this is this chapter of Hoidu that said Friday afternoon before Mincha. Because Rabbein Zal says that chapter speaks about all the tzorois hanefesh, all the suffering that a Jewish soul experiences. And it speaks about crying out to Hashem in all the different difficult circumstances that a person goes through. And this is something that everybody could understand, Rabbein Zal says. If we just take a minute, a moment, to look at some of the words that are used in this kapitel, this chapter, it begins with a person saying, thanking Hashem for all the kindness that Hashem has done for them. And then we say about the fact that Hashem has taken us out of Golus, Miad Tzor, from the tight spot that we were in, and Hashem has gathered us together from all the different distant places of the earth. And we say that at one time we were wandering in the desert, Re'evim Gam Tzemeim, we were starving, and we were thirsty, we had no food, nothing to drink. Vayitzaku el Hashem batzar lohem, and the Jews screamed out to Hashem when they felt that they were in a difficult situation, mimitzukoiseyem yatzileim, and Hashem saved them, rescued them from all the difficult places that they were in. And the pasuk says again, ki hizbia nefesh shekeko, Hashem has given nourishment to a yearning soul, v'nefesh re'eva milei toiv, and a starving, a thirsty soul, Hashem has filled with good. Asire yoshvei choshech v'tzalmodes, we who live in darkness. Asire oni u'barzel, we who feel jailed, imprisoned. And the pasuk goes on to say, to bamidbor bishimoin, that we wandered like drunks in the desert. And many other psukim, if a person takes a look at this paragraph and analyzes it very slowly, this actually is Dovid HaMelech telling Hashem, summarizing for Hashem, all the different trials and tribulations that he went through in life, all the ups and downs, and the most difficult, severe problems that he had, and how Hashem saved him from them. And Rabbein Zal taught us a derech, that when a person is saying this type of paragraph, a person is supposed to have in mind that this is being said about me. I'm not talking about Dovid HaMelech's experiences, I'm talking about myself. And it's known that Rabbein Zal's Talmidim, when it came to this paragraph, they said it very slowly and with tremendous concentration, because this is a tachana merkazit, a main stopover, where if a person really tries, they can find themselves, they can find in here all the problems, all the hardships that they experienced in the entire week. It's like a person is pouring all of it out to Hashem before they go into Shabbos. They're turning over to Hashem all the heavy packages and problems and depressions that they went through the entire week. This is where it's all summarized in this tefillah, and it's all turned over to Hashem, and I acknowledge that Hashem is capable of rescuing me and taking me out of all of these problems. This is one very special place in the tefillah of Friday night. Rabbein Zal also said that afterwards, right before we say Mariv, where we say the special paragraph, Kegavno de'inun misyachdin, where we say over a special piece from the Zohar HaKadosh, one of the sentences that's written there is, where the Zohar HaKadosh says, V'chulhoin misatrin b'nishmosin chadetin. That all the Jews dress themselves and crown themselves with a brand new neshama on Shabbos. This is referring to the neshama yisera, the additional soul that each and every single Jew that keeps Shabbos is given for that special day. Rabbein Azal said that when a Jew says that statement, it's proper that the person should feel a spectacular simcha, a joy, and become very much nislahev, become very much aroused and inspired by the realization that I'm actually testifying, I'm saying that I believe that now I am receiving a brand new neshama. It's like I have double the spiritual power that I had during the week, at least double. And when a person has that realization, that emunah, that's supposed to be enough to fill a person with tremendous simcha and hislavus. The next paragraph, Reish Ayin Aleph, 271, Rabbein Azal says that a storekeeper generally allows people to buy on credit, whereby he gives them merchandise, he gives them food, or whatever else he's selling, with the understanding that they're not able to pay for it right now, but rather they're given a certain length of time, 30 days, whatever the length of time is, to be able to pay for items that they took at this present day. Rabbein Azal said, based on this concept of credit, why shouldn't a person say a few chapters of Tehillim, or learn a few chapters of Mishnayos, or do other mitzvahs, and in a sense, take it out on credit, where he's storing this up, he's saving this up for when he's going to need it. Because there's going to come a time when he will need these items, and he'll be able to collect on them. Implying that even if a person doesn't necessarily feel a pleasure, a joy in doing the mitzvah itself, let a person take this attitude of knowing, the same kind of attitude that a storekeeper has. When he gives a person merchandise and the person doesn't pay for it on the spot, in a sense the store owner feels cheated, because today I gave away merchandise and got back nothing for it. It's only that I'm hoping a month from today or 2 months from today I'm going to be paid for it, and at that time I'll make a profit. This bottle of milk that this person took today, which is supposed to cost a shekel and a half, and today I gave it to them for free, which means today I'm minus a shekel and a half. 30 days from now, when they pay me the shekel and a half, because I got the milk for a shekel 30 agarot, at that time I'll make 20 cents profit. If this is the attitude that a chenveni, a storekeeper, has, Rabbein Azal said, why shouldn't a person train themselves to be able to do the same thing if necessary? To do a mitzvah now, where right now you don't necessarily feel any big satisfaction, but you know that at some future date you're going to collect on this. Rav Nosson Zal says, I didn't hear this item directly from Rabbein Azal. I heard it from one of his students who had heard this item mentioned, and the way he explained it to me, it seemed that Rabbein Azal had a very elaborate discussion about this item. He had a lot to say about this, but I wasn't zeuche to hear more than what I'm presenting now. The next paragraph, Reish Ayin Beis, 272, Rav Nosson Zal writes that one time Rabbein Azal was in a certain city, and a person who was not religious came in to Rabbein Azal and started bragging in a conceited way about how knowledgeable he is in languages, how he knows all different kinds of languages of the Goyim, and he was obviously showing off about this and strutting around feeling so proud of himself. And he said that just recently he was in a court, a secular court, a court of the Goyim at that time, and the court scribes didn't know the meaning of a certain word. There was a certain word that came up within a trial, and they didn't know the exact meaning of the word. And he was the one who explained it to them. He taught them what it means. And he was able to help them solve their problem. And this person was showing tremendous arrogance as a result of this, feeling so proud about the fact that he knew the Lashonoi Sa'amim, the languages of the Goyim. Afterwards, this person left, and Rabbeinu Zal was making fun of him. After this person had left, Rabbeinu Zal was joking about him, about how silly it is that a person takes such pride in such foolishness. He feels like such a big shot about such a silly item. While this was taking place, one of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim was present, and this Talmid was a Lamdon Muflog. He was an outstanding genius in Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch, and a Yirei Hashem, a tzaddik, somebody very, very religious. And this student said to Rabbeinu Zal, maybe, in a sense, this person is better off in having gaiva about this type of thing, about something foolish or silly, than a person who has gaiva from learning Torah or doing mitzvahs. Obviously, this student thought that for a person to be mezgoya, for a person to feel arrogance as a result of learning their learning of Torah or their doing a mitzvah, that's, in a sense, a bigger slap to Hashem, a greater disrespect to Hashem than a person who has gaiva over stam foolishness. Because being that Torah is so beloved by Hashem, Torah and mitzvahs, if a person uses that to insult Hashem, this student seemed to understand that that would be worse. Rabbeinu Zal heard what this student said, and he was quiet for a few minutes, and then Rabbeinu Zal spoke up and said, I disagree. The opposite of what you said is true, and I'll prove it to you. He said, I'll prove it to you from a story that the Gemara says regarding Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara in Brochas, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, says that at one point in time, the Roman king issued a decree that the Jews were forbidden to study Torah. The Gemara says that there was a certain person by the name of Pappus ben Yehuda who saw Rabbi Akiva giving public shiurim after this decree had been given by the Roman government. So Pappus went over to him and said, Rabbi Akiva, aren't you afraid of this gzeira that the Romans have issued? Aren't you afraid of being killed for what you're doing? So Rabbi Akiva said to him, let me give you a mushal that'll explain the logic behind what I'm doing. There was once an incident where a fox was walking along the side of a river, and the fox saw fish gathering together in different places, swimming from one place to the other in schools as groups. So the fox said to the fish, why are you dashing back and forth so quickly? The fish responded, because we're afraid of the traps that people, the nets that people are going to set for us to catch us. Therefore, we try not to stay in one place too long. We stay in a place and then we move quickly to a different place to be able to have this, to be able to protect ourselves. So the fox said to them, I have a very good piece of advice for you to make your life much easier. In the water, you're very concerned about being caught in these fishermen's nets. How about if you come out on dry land over here with me, where you'll be safe? You won't have to deal with these nets that the fishermen throw into the water. And we'll live together just like my forefathers lived with your forefathers. This is what the fox said to the fish. So the fish said to him, you're the one who's known as being the sharpest of all the chayos? You're the one that's considered to be so shrewd, the fox? You're not shrewd. You're a total fool, a tipesh. Imagine if in the water which is our life source. That's where our chiyus comes from. We're afraid. We're in danger. Alachas kama v'kama, how much more so if we come out of the water, how much more so our life is going to be in danger. Rabbi Akiva said to Pappus, you're telling me why am I not afraid of teaching Torah publicly? The Torah says, ki hu chayecho v'orech yomecho, that Torah is our life. That's what keeps us alive. If in studying Torah my life is in danger, you can be sure it'll be much more in danger if we stop studying Torah. This is what Rabbi Akiva said to Pappus. The Gemara says, a short while later, the Romans caught Rabbi Akiva and put him into prison. And the Gemara says they also caught Pappus ben Yehuda having committed some kind of crime, and they threw him into prison also in an adjoining cell. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva said to Pappus, what brings you here? So Pappus said to him, Ashrecho Rabbi Akiva, how lucky you are, Rabbi Akiva, shenitfasto al divrei Torah, that you're in jail over learning Torah. Your prison is for having studied Torah. Oiloi lepapus shenitfas al dvorim betelim. Woe is to me, Pappus ben Yehuda, that I'm in the same prison for dvorim betelim, for foolishness. I have the same punishment, and I didn't get the credit, the benefit of the mitzvah of studying Torah. Rabbeinu Zal said, from this Gemara we see, from this statement that Pappus ben Yehuda said, which is quoted in the Gemara, we see that it's better for a person to be in prison for Divrei Torah than it is to be in prison over Dvorim Betalim. And Rabbeinu Zal said, since we know that the punishment for gaiva is imprisonment, when a person is arrogant, a person acts like a big shot, says kol gei yinose, a person who acts too tall, Hashem shortens him. How does He shorten him? He finds him. Bal gaiva is a person who's gas ruach. He's always feeling crowded, like, give me more space. He feels that like the room is too small for him, or his chair is too small for him. He needs a bigger place. The Gemara says his punishment is that Hashem puts him in a very tight spot, in a jail cell where he really doesn't have much room to move around. So we see that tfisa, imprisonment, is specifically related to gaiva. And here we see that imprisonment for a mitzvah was better. A person who was imprisoned for a mitzvah, which means gaiva over a mitzvah, is better than imprisonment for dvorim betelim, for foolishness. This is an interesting point to note, because there are many people who take a cynical attitude towards the study of Torah, or mitzvahs, or Talmidei Chachamim, and they're always saying, well, I'm no good, he's just as no good. I'm a liar, they're also liars. I cheat in business, they're also cheats. And a person has to know that even Rabbeinu Zal here gave an example of the ugliest midah that there is. This midah of gaiva, which is a terrible item. The Torah calls it disgusting. And the Pasuk says, Toyavas Hashem kol gvalev. Hashem is disgusted, not by arrogance, but by all types of arrogance, kol gvalev. And the Meforshim say this means afilu b'toyra utfila. Even a person who is mizgoya with their religion, that's also disgusting to Hashem. However, it's less disgusting than a person who's arrogant without religion. A person who's arrogant about silliness, that's something that's considered still worse. Hashem should save us, protect us from any type of godless or gaiva. The next item, paragraph Resh Ayin Gimel, Rabbeinu Zal said that it's very advisable for a person to get themselves in the habit of being able to be mechaya themselves with a niggun. For a person during the day to be able to get themselves into a good mood by humming a song or singing a song. Because singing nigun is dovor godol vigovoya ma'oid ma'oid. Singing is an extremely high item in Kiddusha, in holiness, in coming close to Hashem. And this item in particular, a Jew singing or humming a tune, is something that has the power to arouse a person and to draw their heart close to Hashem. Rabbi Nizal said this applies even to a person who doesn't have that good a voice. Now this doesn't mean that they should give public concerts. This means a person humming a tune to themselves or singing to themselves, that this is an item that's very advisable and it's a way of a person climbing in Avodas Hashem. Because the Maila of Nigun, Rabbi Nizal said, is something which is Ein L'Shayar. You have no idea how great the effects of Nigun, a song of Kedusha, are. Rabbi Nosanzal points out that there are several chapters in Likutei Moran where Rabbi Nosanzal speaks a great deal about Nigun, how high a place in Kedusha this takes. For example, we know that the Torah is made up of four basic ingredients corresponding to the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. The Torah is made up of Ta'amim, the musical notes, the trup, as we know it. The second item is nekudos, the vowels that are under the letters. The third item is oisios, the actual letters themselves. And the fourth item is tagin, the crowns on top of the letters. These are the four building blocks of a Sefer Torah, of the Torah HaKdosha. The Sforim tell us that the highest one, by far, is the tamim, the musical notes. That's considered to be the highest level of Kiddusha. And Rabbi Nosanzal points out that we know that in one of the stories that Rabbi Nosanzal told, the story of the seven betlers, the 13th story in the Sefer Sipurei Maaseiyos, where Rabbi Nosanzal speaks about the final betler, the sixth betler, the seventh one is not discussed, the sixth one, his power was to be able to cure the princess who had fallen deathly ill, and his power to cure her came through nigun, through song, through the 10 types of song. There Rabbi Nosanzal spoke about a princess which was the symbol of the Shechina, and this princess had been shot by 10 poisonous arrows, and there was a tzaddik who was able to save and heal this princess. And the cure was effected through the 10 types of song, the Asora Mine Negina. These Asora Mine Negina are the basic ingredients and foundation of the Sefer Tehillim. The Gemara points out in Psochim, and this is mentioned in the first Rashi in Tehillim, that the Sefer Tehillim is made up of 10 different types of opening sentences, opening paragraphs, Ashrei Lamanatseach, the 10 different Lashonos of Nigun, of song, with which David HaMelech speaks to Hashem. And this is what was used to cure the princess, meaning this is the item that's able to effect a cure for the Shechina, to take the Shechina out of Golos, more so than any other item in religion. Rabbi Nosanzal said that you should know that the neshama of a Jew, the soul, is also called a bas melech, a princess, as is known in the Sifrei Kabbalah. And when a Jew's neshama is in captivity, when a Jew's neshama has been shot by these poisonous arrows, where the Satan attacks a person and hurts the person with atzfus, depression, or all kinds of other terrible poisons that the Satan shoots into a person, the key to be able to be cured from that poisons is you need a tzaddik who's great enough to be able to go into those places where the neshama has fallen into and to be able to remove these 10 poisonous arrows. And the secret of being able to accomplish that comes from these 10 types of negina, which are contained within the Sefer Tehillim. It's for this reason also that Rabbi Nosanzal stressed so much to his Talmidim the importance of saying Tehillim regularly, because the Sefer Tehillim contains in it these Asora Mine Negina, these 10 types of song, and in particular, the Tikkun HaKloli, the special 10 chapters of Tehillim, which Rabbeinu Zal revealed as being the special formula, prescription, that's needed to be able to cure a person from the worst type of tumor, the worst type of depression, the worst type of spiritual illness. Rabbeinu Zal said that a Jew who says these 10 chapters of Tehillim, which represent these 10 types of song, this is able to affect a major tikkun for a person's neshama. It's important to note that in the Sefer Ein Zecher, which was written by one of the earlier Breslov Hasidim, Rabbi Yitzchok Breiterzal, who was the leader of the Breslov community in Poland in the previous generation, he makes note of certain takonois that were accepted among Breslov Hasidim, certain items that they accepted upon themselves as minhogim. And one of the minhogim that he mentions there is to say the Tikkun HaKloli on a daily basis, to say it every single day. This is an important item because there are people who aren't aware of this. There are people who are under the impression that this item, Tikkun HaKloli, is something that can only be said in certain circumstances or related to a particular sin. And this is definitely a mistake, because the word Kloli itself means a general tikkun, that this item serves to correct any type of sin that a person has committed, number one, or to help solve any kind of spiritual or physical problem that a person could have, whether it be related to parnoso or other items. And Rabbeinu Zal, in one of the chapters in Likutei Moran, Torah Chof Tes, in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, chapter 29, Rabbeinu Zal there explains in great detail how this particular item, a person who is able to effect a tikkun for pigama bris, that automatically represents a total tikkun for anything that could be defective in a person in religion, beruchnius, or begashmius. It's for this reason also why this is considered one of the forms of nigun that a person has on their lips every day. This is separate from the item that Rabbeinu Zal suggested earlier, which is for a person to be in the habit of humming a tune during the day as a means of keeping yourself in a good mood or pulling oneself out of an atzlus, a laziness, or a boredom. This is a way of a person being mechaya themselves. Halavai, we should be zeicha to understand and follow all the different advice that's prescribed by Rabbeinu Zal in his Sforim. And the zchus of following the advice of this great tzaddik, we should be zeicha to help to bring about the simcha klolius for the entire Klal Yisrael with the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, Meharav Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.